DW.
Hasi bonanga, hasi bonangulale kona.
The child who is singing lives in Munsiville, one of the thousands of townships or slums in South Africa. Her name is Chegotatso. She's standing in the mud with bare feet in front of her family's shack. She's too young to understand that the song she sings was written for Nelson Mandela, the icon of the struggle for equality between blacks and whites in South Africa. And it's the equality that black people have struggled so hard to achieve in the past that today's whites are claiming now. Because poor white people in South Africa are discriminated against, says Lee Dupree. She's the director of the NGO South African Family Relief Project.
We have children, white children, that were born in a so-called rainbow nation, free and fair democracy since 1994. But these children are being persecuted against because of the color of their skin. Their parents cannot find jobs. These children are living in poverty. They are being punished for what has happened in apartheid. Many people call it reverse apartheid. There's no apartheid, but yes, being in poverty does segregate you from the rest of the population.
Between the 1950s and 1994, racial segregation was institutionalized in the country with the apartheid system. White people had much better educational and economic opportunities. They were better off than non-whites, and many still are. Black and coloured people, which make up 90% of the population, were oppressed, and even today, the majority are still poor. To try to compensate for this inequality, the South African government has prioritised blacks in the labour market and in social programs over the last two decades. For Lee Dupree, that explains the increase in the number of marginalised white South Africans living in slums.
We have many, many white people in poverty because of the laws that have been put in place in South Africa prohibiting white South Africans from employment. The BBEE law is the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Law, which clearly states that a company must employ at least 75% black people before they can employ a white person. And then before the white person, the Indian person will get preference before a white person. So the white people are right at the bottom when it comes to employment.
There's no consensus on the number of whites living in poverty in South Africa. Assistance institutions estimate 400,000 people, while the government puts the number at some 40,000. Across the country, around 12 million people are considered poor. That's half of the South African population. Some of the impoverished whites began to occupy land irregularly in the late 1990s. The small settlements grew into slums that today are called white squatter camps. Like Munsiville, many of these white slums are concentrated on the outskirts of Johannesburg, the country's main economic centre. Munsiville used to be a black township, but in 2015 white families started squatting right next to it. Today some 300 people live in the white part of the slum that's called Pango Camp. Walking through, the smell of paraffin hangs in the air. There's no electricity. People usually cook on open fires or makeshift fireplaces built from old tin containers. Food needs to be consumed instantly because there's no refrigeration. Families live in tiny tin shacks with little more than simple beds, a few clothes, and some kitchen items. Rain makes things more difficult. Everything gets wet and the paths get muddy. Unemployment is also a huge problem in the slums. Resident Stephanie Jensen says her husband has been looking for a job for 8 years.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very difficult for our white people to get a job these days. It's very, very difficult. My husband goes every day and he goes looks for scrap, and then he goes to the scrapyard, and every money that we get, we put in for food. It's not much that we are getting, but it's at least something for food for at night, because we go day by day, surviving day by day, you see. So all the money that we get during the day, like every day, it goes in the house, like for food and paraffin and candles. And, well.
Candles are vital for the Ianson family because they don't have other lights. Like their neighbours, the family cooks on an open fire on the ground. Water is also a big problem. There are only 5 public taps in the settlement to supply hundreds of people. Women queue up to carry water home in buckets every day. Without sanitation and clean water, residents often get sick. Willie Britz, an elderly man who's been living here for several years, is wary of asking for medical assistance. He says that in emergencies, ambulances often aren't willing to serve the slum residents.
When you phone the ambulance, you're waiting very, very long. They don't come out here. If you don't take him to hospital by yourself, it's very bad.
Walking around the white squatter camp at noon, you won't smell anyone cooking lunch. Most people can only afford to eat twice a day, in the morning before the children go to school and at night. Many families depend on food donations from NGOs or other organisations. Only those with children or older people receive some money from the state, around $30 a month. The little money most families live off here comes from selling recycled materials picked up from the garbage. A lot of it goes into paying children's school fees. The hardships facing white township residents are similar to those of black slum dwellers like Rafiwa Mbengwa in Munsiville. He's worried about the impact the problematic economic situation will have on his child's education.
Look the future for my child, because she don't have money to carry. How is she going to be understanding at the school? Understand the school, there is so all that stuff, but she can't reliable all that stuff. You must be free. You can ask even the teacher, what is that? But how are you going to ask the teacher, but you didn't even eat? Where are you going to get money to eat? Because we're struggling to get the job. We are not safe on this place. Look the road here. This is a danger place, very danger place. What about the child? It's that place. We're struggling on this place. We need better life.
Rafiwa lives in a tin shack right next to the white squatter camp. He's 32 and he and his wife have a child to provide for. Like his white neighbours, he's also been unable to find employment. He says in the past 6 years he's left his home every single day to look for a job, but in vain. And he's frustrated.
If I'm still staying on this place, I don't think my child is going to be a future. Why I'm saying that? Because there is no job around. No houses around. Which means now, to my baby, I think my family also is going to be poor like me. Means now I'm struggling, I can see the government nothing to do for us.
Only half of the estimated 12 million people living in poverty in South Africa qualify for government assistance. More than a quarter of people of working age are unemployed. For political analyst Thomas Blaser, the reason for the lack of jobs is not skin colour.
Of course, for everyone it's hard to find a job if you have so much unemployment. There are like twice, three, four, five times as many poor black people looking for jobs. But in South Africa, really, everything is about always, you know, what race are you? So everything happened to you because either you're black, you're white, you're colored or whatever. But sometimes it's also other reason, you know, it's not the only reason.
South Africa's Labour Department says it has a strategy to increase jobs in the country and that current employment policies are still needed to help groups that were marginalised in the past. For Blaser, it's not a problem to be solved by the government alone. He says rich white South Africans who benefited during the apartheid regime should take responsibility too.
If you look a bit closer, you will see that between the very rich Afrikaners who make millions of dollars, you know, very rich people, they basically said, we're no longer going to take care of working class white people. There is a lot of animosity from working class white people against the white elite, because the white elite just said, okay, we no longer are responsible for you, now you have to fend for yourself. Because those with a lot of money are doing very well.
South Africa is the biggest economy in Africa, yet half the population continues to live in poverty. Along with addressing unemployment and inequality, more still needs to be done to achieve the goals Nelson Mandela envisioned for all South Africans.
I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the idea of a democratic and free society in which all persons will live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea for which I hope to live for and to see realized.
Asibonanga hasi bona ngulale kona mawe kona mawelele kona mawelele kona.
DW